We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us. We pray that you open our hearts and reveal the treasures which are hidden here for us, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, verses 26 through 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. These words kind of tie the rest of the chapter together. Remember the context here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had refused to bow down and worship the king's golden image. So King Nebuchadnezzar had some of his most mighty men bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter than normal. The heat was so hot that the mighty men themselves were destroyed by the fire. The king was looking into the furnace and was astonished by what he saw. In his own words, he said to his counselors, Did not we cast these three men bound into the fire? They answered and said, True, O king, three of them. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth, the form of the Son of God. The Holy Spirit picks up a narrative from here. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said unto Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. The words of the king here, come forth, jump right out at us. And we can't help but think of the scene that unfolded in a cemetery recorded in John chapter 11. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, had died and was buried. The two sisters, along with many of their friends, were in the cemetery, standing at the grave of Lazarus, weeping. Then Jesus entered into the cemetery. John 11, beginning at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where the Jews, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Then the shortest verse in Scripture, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. A greater than Nebuchadnezzar is here. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. At the great judgment day, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will cry out, Come forth. And every cemetery in the world will surrender its dead. Every grave will be opened. And all the dead will rise and come forth. As far as every believer goes, the Son of God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. But even more than that, the whole creation will be renewed, and the curse will be forever lifted. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and together with the holy angels, the whole creation, along with God's elect, will join in praising God, a grand finale, as it were. Only it will last forever and ever in Christ's kingdom of glory. But that's another story for another time. Now let's get back to the fiery furnace in Babylon. The princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, these VIPs, they saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. This miracle was not done in a dark corner. There were many witnesses, the most important people in the kingdom. There's a saying in our day, which is so often true. The saying is, the devil is in the details. Well, to turn it around a bit, here in this miracle, the Almighty God is in the details. Consider, number one, not one hair on the head of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was singed. That's a pretty important detail. Detail number two, their coats were not damaged. And detail number three, the smell of fire was not even upon them. I go out and burn some paper in a burn barrel, and when I come in, my wife tells me I got to change clothes because my old everything smells of fire, and that's standing behind a burn barrel. Here, these men were in a fiery furnace, heated seven times over, and weren't one single bit affected by it, even the clothes that they wore. There's more here than meets the eye. These three Hebrew boys are representative of every elect child of God. And three, remember, in Scripture is the number of the resurrection. Spiritually, the experience of faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace is shared by us all. Persecution and deliverance. Persecution and deliverance. Over and over and over again throughout our whole life. Think of Luke chapter 21, and we're starting with verse 5. But listen carefully to the context. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, Jesus said, as for all these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And those days were not very far off. About 40 years is all. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. False prophets, multitudes. But when ye shall see and hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. That's how the heathen work. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. This is the connection with our text. In your patience possess ye your souls. So one of the valuable lessons here is this. It is better for you and for me to be inside the fiery furnace with Jesus Christ than to be standing outside of the fiery furnace without him. It all depends on our relationship with him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then an ending which we would expect. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded up their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Doesn't say except the true God. He says their own God. In other words, there are a lot of gods that they could serve, but they chose one and remained faithful to him. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. So nobody else has to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They can still worship their false gods. They were not just supposed to say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Big deal, huh? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So a few closing words here. They changed the king's word. We think here of Romans chapter 13, opening verses. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore shall resist the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So the government is ordained by God, and King Nebuchadnezzar was placed over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by the Lord God. Nebuchadnezzar was God's representative, and you notice through this whole thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not show any dishonor for the king. But they didn't obey him either. The Romans continues, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. In our country, that's changed around. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, then be afraid. Except in our country, it's just the opposite as today. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Therefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. There is one exception, and that's in Acts chapter 5, I'm beginning in verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest said to them, this is Peter and the other apostles, had been thrown into jail for preaching Christ. And the high priest asked him, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So this was the exception. Yeah, you submit to the government until they command you to do something that God tells you not to do, and then you obey God rather than men, which is exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And it's important also and interesting to notice when you read carefully through the trial of Jesus Christ, he never, ever showed any disrespect for Pontius Pilate, his judge. When Pilate noticed that Jesus Christ was not trembling in his shoes, and he was amazed at that. And he said, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or the power to let you go? Aren't you aware of the situation? And a son of God said, thou couldst have no power over me at all, except it were given thee from above. So he didn't say to Pilate, no, you don't have any power over me. He didn't say that. Yeah, you've got that power. But the power has been given to you by God. And whenever God gives a person power, there's also something else that goes with it, and that's responsibility. You use the power God has given you the way God wants you to do it. And if you don't, then you're going to be judged. So, okay, the men yielded their bodies. This is your story and mine. Luke chapter 14, beginning of verse 26, if any man come to me, now this is the cost of discipleship, and the Son of God is using harsh, strong words, and he's comparing the love that you and I would have for anybody else or anything else with the love that we should have for him. And he says this, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So what does he mean? You got to hate your father? We're supposed to honor our father and our mother. That's what he said elsewhere. And your wife and your children, you're supposed to love them. But compared to the love that you have for Christ, everything else by comparison turns to hatred. You've got to give it all up. And your own life also. The very moment that the Holy Spirit gives you a rebirth, which is called the first resurrection, and you become a believer in Jesus Christ, he's also your Lord. He controls you, and you obey. You lose your life. He's calling the shots now. And the term Lord and Savior is always in that order. It's never the other order. He's your Savior and your Lord. No, he's your Lord and your Savior. It's always that way. The king's decree, which seems to be a kind of a blessing to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which it was. But there are times in history when God uses heathen kings or people in power to protect his own children. And this can be a real blessing. We've enjoyed that in our country for years and years and years. But that can be taken away very, very quickly. The climate might be changing. He has sent his angel, Nebuchadnezzar said, and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Well, Jesus Christ was in there with them. But this is the thing about angels. We've got angels with us too. And the Son of God, in a warning to his enemies, said, I'm in Matthew 18, verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For behold, I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And Christian parents teach their little children this from the time they're little, that you have guardian angels that are with you all the time. You can't see them, they're spirits, but they're there. And they're protecting you. And there's no age limit on this, by the way. It's not when you become a teenager, God says to the angels, okay, you don't have to guard them anymore. That's not the way it works. We're all little children yet. And these angels are with us during our whole lifetime. And why are all these angels created? What's their purpose? Well, one of them, one of the purposes we see in the opening words of Hebrews chapter 1. To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? The writer of the Hebrews is showing that Jesus is better than the angels. But then about the angels, he said this, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? So you've got guardian angels whose job, if you want to put it crassly, is to protect you. You've got powerful enemies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's true. But we're all surrounded by angels. I'm going to close by reading two sections of Scripture, two being the number of witness, that has a very powerful lesson for you and for me, and it comes from how Nebuchadnezzar was used by God to bless Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The first section is in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're zeroing on a little village that was located in the middle of a plain, and the village was called Dothan. And some two very important things happened in that little village of Dothan. A lot of times important things happen in little places. Bethlehem of Judea is a very, very small little place. But King David was born in Bethlehem, and David's greater son was also born in a manger of Bethlehem. So big things can come from small places. So here we're looking at Dothan. The king of Syria, with his army, was trying to kill Elisha. He's trying to kill the king of Israel. And every time he laid an ambush, the king of Israel didn't go there. He was warned about it by somebody. And therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. Every time I have a plan, somebody rats on me, and the other king of Israel knows about it. So the king was troubled. Somebody is ratting on me from one. There's a traitor in the midst of us, is what he's saying. So he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? Who's doing this? And one of his servants said, none, my lord. There's no traitor here. But Elisha the prophet is in Israel, and he telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. God knew exactly what the heathen king was saying and planning, and he gave it to Elisha, and Elisha told the king. So now the king has to get rid of Elisha. He said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. He's going to kill him. And it was told, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night. It's a night march. They went through the darkness of night and surrounded that little village of Dothan in the middle of the plain. And he surrounded the city round about. And then the sun was about ready to rise. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, and he went forth, he went out the front door of his little house, behold, a host compasseth the city with horses and chariots. And a servant is scared half to death. He ran back in the house. He said, alas, my master, how shall we do? He can't even ask a question right. He's so scared. And Elisha answered and said, fear not. Elisha is a type of Christ here. How often didn't he tell his disciples, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Well, it doesn't look like it. There's two of us sitting here, and there's hundreds of horses and chariots out there. How can you say we got them outnumbered? Then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, round about Elisha. So this was God's army, angels appearing as horses and chariots of fire. And he had the Syrian army surrounded. And then they came down to him. When they did, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote the Syrian army with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Okay, this amazing event took place in Dothan. There's only one other place in the Bible where Dothan is mentioned. And that's in Genesis chapter 37. And we read this way, I'm starting with verse 12. You know the story well. His brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. This is the only other place in the Bible where Dothan is mentioned. And when Elisha was there, God's army appeared as horses and chariots of fire in the mountains surrounding the Syrian army and protecting Elisha. Now here Joseph comes to Dothan, and you know the rest of that story. When his brethren saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And he was thrown into a pit, and he was sold as a slave, separated from his father, whom he loved, and his family, and taken down into Egypt. And one thing after another happened down there. But again, you know the whole story. Why did God allow Joseph's brothers to throw him into a pit and get rid of him? Why did he allow that? This happened in Dothan. Where were God's army of horses and chariots now? They were in Dothan. They were watching, and they were controlling. But it was the will of God that Joseph suffer before he was exalted. And God had great plans for Joseph, but you didn't see it at Dothan unless you looked by faith. And if you did, then you can take any of these reverses. They're not reverses at all. You trace the situation back to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you look for a blessing in it. And that's the main lesson that we're learning right here in the midst of the fiery furnace. There are many fiery furnaces that we're going to pass through, but they all come in the middle of Dothan. And God is in full control. Let's remember that.